Morning. What are you doing all the way back there? Well, I'm glad to see you here this morning. It's good y'all got all your Christmas stuff done. Christmas is over. Everybody got what they wanted?
Yeah.
No, okay, nobody got what they wanted. That's awesome. All right. Well, let's open with a word of prayer this morning. Father God, we thank you for this morning. Father, we just thank you that we can come here and still worship. And still come to this place openly and worship you and pray and sing and just gather together. Now, Father, we know around the world there's brothers and sisters this morning that don't have this freedom. And Father, we can look at the climate of our culture and our nation, and we can see potentially the day coming in where that won't be for us here either. But Father, I still believe, and I'm sure my brothers and sisters in this room this morning believe, that you are still the God of the impossible. You are still the God that's in control. You are still the God that has everything. You know everything that's going on. And men can make their plans and they can think they got it all taken care of. But at the end of the day, Father, you're the one that knows how it's going to go down. You are in control. And Father, that's what we have to rely on this morning. That's what we have to put our faith and our trust and our hope in this morning. We don't have anything else but that, Father. When we get our eyes off of that reality and that truth, that's when fear creeps in. That's when we get discouraged. And that's when our lives start kind of falling apart. So, Father, I pray this morning as we just come with, I know there's lots of things in our hearts and minds this morning that are heavy. Father, I pray that we just bring them to you this morning as we sing and we worship and we just let them all go. And not pick them back up when we leave here this morning. So, Father, I pray as we just gather together as your kids this morning, Father, I just pray that we would just celebrate and worship and hear what you're doing in India this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand and worship.
I search the world. You couldn't feel me. Man's empty praise and treasures of fame are never enough. And you came along and pulled me back together. And every desire is now satisfied. Afraid has a place for me. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am.
Heavenly Father, I just pray that that is our true testimony. After what this year has brought us, Lord, it was a year that nobody expected, but it didn't surprise you. Lord, we thank you that you were there through all of it. We thank you that as it comes to an end, I pray that we grew with you. That what we said in 2019 about trusting in you and knowing that you are faithful, Lord, I pray that we know that. We don't just believe it. I pray that you showed yourself in more ways than we could ever imagine this year, Lord. Lord, I thank you for the declaration that we just sang, Lord. That we are chosen. We are a chosen people. We were chosen by you, the creator of the universe, to be invited to be sons and daughters of the living God. What an honor. What do we have to gripe about? Where can we go? Who can we run to when everything falls? Who can we run to when our friends fail us or disappoint us, Lord? Who is always there? Who is always constant? You are, Lord. And if there was ever a year that would be shown to us, it was this year. You know, at the beginning, it was 2020 vision, where it's going to be great. It was great. Because you opened our eyes to the things that we looked to that were not you. You opened us, opened our eyes to the things that we put before you. Our economy, our income, our rights. Who the Son sets free is free indeed. What can this world do to us? Nothing. Lord, we rest in that truth. We rest that we are free indeed. We thank you for your Son, Lord. We thank you for the celebration of your Son coming to this earth. In Jesus' name, amen.
I could just sit and wait for all your goodness, hope to feel your presence. I could just stay where I am and hope to feel you, hope to feel something again. Where you lead me, Lord. could hold on. I could hold on to who I am and never let you change me from the inside. I could be safe, oh, I could be safe here in your arms and never leave, oh, never let these walls down. But you have called me higher, you have called me deeper, and I'll go.
So much we have lost. As we look down the road where all the prodigals have walked, one by one the enemy has whispered lies and led them off as slaves. But we know that you are God, yours is a victory. We know there is more to come that we may not yet see. So with the faith you've given us, we step into the valley unafraid. We call out to troubles, come alive, come alive. We call out to dead hearts, come alive, come alive. Help out all the ashes, let us dry bones come alive. God of endless mercy, God of unrelenting love, rescue every daughter, bring us back the wayward sons, and by your spirit breathe upon them, show the world that you alone can save. You alone can save. We call out to dry bones, come alive, come alive. We call out to dead hearts, come alive, come alive.
Interesting, this morning I got a text from someone about 5 o'clock this morning. I was kind of sort of trying to wake up, but and it was interesting, the text that I got, and they were ministering to some friends of theirs and realizing how hard their friends' lives were, because their friends don't live in this place. But we have the opportunity to speak into dry bones, because we have the resurrection power inside of us in the Holy Spirit. That's good for these people to see that, you know, not everybody's life is like theirs. It's a reality check for them to not, they don't have the same kind of life or home life or whatever it is. And it was cool just to get that text as early as it was, just to be able to speak some truth into this person's life. Truth they already know. But they're ministering to their friends late at night, early into the morning, and living their life out loud in front of them. That was a real challenge for me this morning as I was reading that and pondering it. It's like, how am I living out my life out loud, intentionally, on purpose, to speak to dry bones? The reality that they can become alive. Because that's the message we have, do we not? So I would hope that you join with me as we continue to sing this morning, and we hear God's message through Barbara this morning, Father, that, you know, we would just take that with us and realize that most of us live in a pretty good place. That we need to take what we have and speak that into lives that are dry and dusty and dead around us, and show them that Jesus, and that's what's one of the things I said to this individual, said Jesus is their answer. That sounds so trite, but it's not. We've made Jesus as the answer a bumper sticker. When it's the power of everything. And I know I needed that reminder this morning. So let's continue to sing.
There's a calm that covers me when I kneel down at your feet. It's a place of healing. It's a place where
the place my eyes can see, where my spirit longs to be. It's a place of healing. It's a place of living freedom. I'm gonna lift my till I can reach heaven. I'm gonna shout your name till the walls come falling down. I've come to worship. I've come to worship. breaks the sin that's binding and leads me to a place of freedom. I'm gonna lift my hands till I can reach heaven. I'm gonna shout your name till the walls come falling down. I've come to worship. I've come to worship. I'm gonna sing my song like I am unashamed. I'm gonna shout for joy at the mention of your name. I've come to worship. I've come to worship. There's no one that can bring me peace, that can wash me clean like you, Lord. There's nothing in this world that can free me. Oh, you saved my soul. I'm gonna lift my hands till I can reach heaven. I'm gonna shout your name till the walls come falling down. I've come to worship. I've come to worship. I'm gonna sing my song like I am unashamed. I'm gonna shout for joy at the mention of your name. I've come to worship. I've come to worship. I'm gonna lift my hands till I can reach heaven. I'm gonna shout your name till the walls come falling down. I've come to worship. I've come to worship. I'm gonna sing my song like I am unashamed. I'm gonna shout for joy at the mention of your name. I've come to worship. I've come to worship.
Heavenly Father, I pray that is our heart cry. I pray it's a heart cry every day, Lord, but especially as we end this year, that we may come before you and thank you for all that you've done and all those circumstances we didn't think we could make it through. Here we are. We are a testimony in this place. We are living proof that there is a God. Through everything that's happened this year, it's a good thing I'm not God, because I would have wiped everybody out, including myself. But that is the graciousness of the God that I serve. One who sees his children as clean because of the sacrifice of her son. We have everything we need in you. You are our sole provider, our faithful God. We do not need our government to be faithful to us or keep their word to ensure our security. We only need to abide and reside in your presence every single day. We thank you for all these things. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Do we have children's thing this today? Yes? Yes. All right. So all the children, are you dismissed? Well, we have a special treat this morning. Barbara Taylor is here to speak to us. I think she's got some, whatever God's got on her heart to share, she's going to share. So I know it's going to be good. It's been a while since you've been here, hasn't it? It's been a few years. Yeah, so it's been a while. So I know I'm looking forward to hearing what God is doing in India. If you don't know, it's one of our mission fields. So just sit back and enjoy Barb this morning. Thank you for coming. So Barb, come share.
So that he can be glorified. For you are not your own. You have been bought and paid for. You have been bought by the precious blood of his son. And that son was with God before we were ever created, before creation began. And so the Lord wants to encourage you to know that you are next to his heart. That he is not far away. Sometimes when you see dancers, they're stretched toward each other. They're not quite touching. I think that image is what the Lord gives me, what you think perhaps is happening. That he's just beyond reach. And he says, no, my children. I am inside. I am there for you. I am touching your deepest trials, your deepest desires. Shall we not go through this journey together? For you and I are one spirit. And so I thank the Lord for that word. And I look to him now for the Holy Spirit to go among us, to touch us, to enliven us, to lift us up, to fill us with understanding that actually is beyond words. But the Spirit can accomplish those things without the word spoken. And yet he chooses us to speak. If you haven't met me before, you haven't been here in the time that I've not been here, I'm Barbara Taylor. I'm a lifetime Alaskan. I was born, raised here, raised my children and family here. And from here, God sent me out as a surprise to me, out to India. And put within my heart such a love for the people of God. And I would say that's maybe a sign of maturity. When you understand, when you begin to fathom that God not only loves you and is healing you and is walking with you, but that his heart is for his people, and that love begins to transfer to your outlook, to your heart, to your desires. That his love is so inexpressible. But if it transfers to you, that you'll begin to act and to see things in a different way. That the desire that we have to reach out and touch people as we go out into our daily life, that desire, what we kind of feel like we can't quite step over that line, his desire is so much more intense. And he will move you. He will enable you to fulfill it. So when I went to India, the first time I was with the missionary team, and we traveled several places and ended up in India, and they sent us out two by two to give our testimony, if nothing else, and whatever God had put on our heart. And it wasn't until I stood up in front of those people and saw the women sitting on one side and the men sitting on the other on the floor, the children in the front, and they were all looking up to me to see Jesus, to touch Jesus. And I can't get past that. I'm not supposed to. Because it was then that he touched my heart for those people, those specific people. Do I love God's people? I do. But those specific people are my people. And he's given me a lifetime, my lifetime here, to touch and do what he asked me to. And so for 20 years now, I have worked 10 months or 9 months as a certified nurse's assistant and worked with people and paid my own bills and so forth. But I've never taken ministry money that people have given me for my own transportation, my own food, my own. It's never applied to me. It's applied to God's people. And he's given me the strength to be able to do that and the heart and the will to travel from beyond where my family members are here and to follow him into Georgia. Right now I'm caring for a lady who's 99 years old. And she, as long as when we go into Walmart, she's on my arm, she's walking fine. And when I get her a grocery cart, she follows. She can walk the length of Walmart and before she's very tired. She's very strong, very wonderful woman of God. God has blessed me through her son and daughter and given me funds, extra funds, now that are built up, and I'm asking him what he wants to do with those things. It's God's money. It's not mine. It's God's life, it's not mine. It's God's minutes on this earth, you know. It's not mine. I've given it all away. And Paul said, you know, all these things that he had, he was the highest in the Sanhedrin, he was persecuting the Jews, he was the zealous of the Pharisees. And he said, I counted all as cow dung to know Jesus. So that's year by year essentially what I have done. And God has given me the funds through you folks and a few others, just a specific others. This is a tiny ministry in the scope of things. But two pastors he has put me beside. And those two pastors, because you are God's arms underneath their ministries, those two pastors have reached hundreds of thousands of souls. I alone have stood before 20,000 people and spoken the word of God and been blessed and privileged to do such a thing. Because I'm not a big speaker or, you know, I'm not. I'm just me. But Jesus is in me. And he loves those people. And it's not beyond his scope for you to do anything great that he asked in your life. He does not just do miracles. He is miracles. They are always happening in Christ. He is the God of gods, the highest of the highest. And so we have the privilege of changing our thinking to align with who he says we are, as that song said. We're not just children. If you enter as children, You enter and you get the milk of the word. God loves me. Yes, he does. God will keep me. God is faithful. Yes, he's all those things. But he has planted the Holy Spirit within our hearts. And we now can partake of that divine nature. We now can be more than we ever thought we could. Who am I to touch people and say, be healed in Jesus' name? I am nothing. I have nothing to give those people or give you to this morning, except the Holy Spirit does it. So anyway, I wanted to just touch on these two pastors. One was Pastor Uttam, whom you have been supporting for at least 15 years, I believe, through this church. And I tell you, you are a lifeline. Don't dismiss in any way the importance of what God has done through this church in regards to India and Pastor Uttam. Because your consistent prayers and your consistent support that he can count on to feed his family and to take him out into ministry. He's an evangelist. He travels at any invitation he will accept. And he, in the beginning days, he thumbed a ride on dump trucks, you know, the commercial vehicles, and rode in those. I'll tell you what, those dump trucks are not like our dump trucks. They're open cab, they're dirty, they're like driving a tank, you know, just a shell of metal. And that's the way he got around, or by bus. When I first went there, we traveled a lot by bus. We traveled by train, getting down in these deserted bus stations at 1 a.m. and waiting for, you know, another connection. We've traveled by Jeep countless miles. And so the desire to serve Christ Jesus, the desire to walk with him, his faith is pure, it is simple, and it is totally powerful in Jesus. Because he believes what he prays will come to pass. God is working on it. God will answer. So I think what I'll do at this point is ask for the little slide present video that we have, and let you kind of touch personally with Pastor Uttam through vision. And it's very short, so go ahead and run that, will you please? Let me get out of the way. This is his family, his sons, wife. And it's not all just crowds. You know, we go into houses, little bitty houses that are no bigger than this little area over here. and 5 or 6 or 7 people will be crammed in there, and we'll have a little Bible study. We'll have a little time together, and you're ordinarily constantly on the move. Now, with COVID, there has been some restriction, of course, and even when I went there last January, there was enough opposition that we could not freely move about as we had before. Because of your involvement in his ministry, he was able to buy 5 acres of land and has now constructed a campus area. And a lot of the people are coming to him instead of him going out so much and traveling so far. But when I was there on the campus last time, they kind of kept me in a side room and were very cautious. If any strangers were coming or anyone onto the campus, they'd ask me to go to that room and hide myself and not be obvious. Because the Hindus and other people were looking for a reason to cause trouble. So there has been some restrictions now, but still they are taking rice and provisions that God has provided them. There's 21 people on campus, by the way, and the reason is it's started a small Bible college there, and they now have, this year they have 8 people, and they take them through the Bible, teach them for 4 years, and give them a degree, a pastor's degree, and send them out, women and men, which is not as usual. Usually it's the boys, you know, that are sent out and trained. But now the girls also, through this ministry, are being trained, because when they're sent back into their villages, they are not threatening to the village chief. A woman is, you know, not regarded as someone with very much credibility or having any big threat to the society. So they can go in, they can pray, they can start singing, they can start a small, prayer group, and they get away with it because it's women. But it spreads like wildfire. So the Bible College is a very important part of the ministry now, and he's built a big hall. Was his dream to have a big hall, because once a year for the last, I believe it's 7 years, they've had a, what they call a jathra. And they welcome everyone to come in that wants to come in, and pastor feeds and houses them for 3 days. And they share the word of God, and there's prayer, there's singing, there's celebration, dancing, and so much fellowship. People, you know, see their relatives that they haven't seen for many days. So about 10,000 people come on that, on the campus for 3 days. And water, we have to, originally we were buying drinking water, clean water for them to drink. But now, again, because of people like you, and that there is now a water system that we've been able to put together, and we have ability for clean water beyond 10,000. So God is doing marvelous things. And they're taking what they have, any provisions, you know, that they have, and separating them into small sacks, and in the darkness of night going to a believer here, a believer there, and trying to help allay their hunger and their famine. And because, again, there's no work, just like here for COVID, the problems of things shut down, and so there's a lot of famine, and people are suffering like anything. But they take, if you don't have symptoms of the COVID, they'll put you in the house. Your own village people put you in the house and quarantine you, and you're stuck. You can't get out. You can't go anywhere, because they don't want that, you know, in their village. And so I don't believe that there's anyone that can report accurately how many deaths in India, because there's no way of counting. I mean, village after village after village. And so it's very serious and it's very trying, but God is in control. He is in control. I've traveled now. I was going to show you a map, but it's not worth taking the time to unfold it. But I've traveled over all of southern half of India and visited once up in Delhi in the northern part. And we have, it's been such a privilege. Sure, you have challenges physically. It's hot. It's so hot. And there's no air conditioning usually. So, you know, you have a fan, and that's your only relief. And, you know, there's challenges. The food is not like my food, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But what you see God do, the miracles that he does, the way he meets people where they're at and touches their hearts. And one big ministry pastor has is people come to him that have not been able to conceive children. And that's it's quite widespread. I think it's because nutrition isn't good enough that the women can be fertile and the guys too. But they'll come and say, please pray for us. We don't have children. It's been 6 years. It's been 5 years. And that is a terrible stigma in India. If you don't have children, something is wrong. The gods are not smiling on you, and you are not a worthy person. And so there's a very big stigma. So he will pray in simple faith, you know, and say, in Jesus' name, let there be life within you. And then the word will come to him, and some of them he'll say, next year you'll have a son, and you'll bring him back to show us. Next year they have a son, and they bring him back to show. You know, it is true. It is so true. And things like he's praying, and people come up, you know, throng up to the front to be prayed for. They want blessings, whether they're Hindu, Buddhist, whatever religion they are looking for blessings, for goodness in their lives. And so they come up for prayer. And one year there was a lady that was just so sickly. I mean, she could hardly stand up. She was just wearing an old pink sari. And pastor prayed for her and went on with the others, and the next day she was still kind of at the foot of the stage. And by the time he was done ministering that day, she stood up and she came to him and she said, Do you know me? Because I am the woman that you prayed for yesterday, and I had AIDS and was dying, and today I am well. And, you know, strong, vibrant, I am well. And the next year he came back to the same place, and this woman came up to him that was in a beautiful pink sari, but he didn't. You know, no correlation there. And she was beautiful. And she said, do you remember me? I'm the one you prayed for last year. And I have received Jesus in my heart. And I was a prostitute and had AIDS. And by the way, folks, prostitution is not just a choice over there. If you are a woman and you have no husband, no protection, no family, that's often the only way you can survive, is to offer your body. So she said, you know, I was a prostitute, but I received Jesus in my heart and such healing. And I went and told these other women that were in the same boat as me. And they received Jesus, and we have started a Pink Ladies Society. And so they all wear pink saris, and they minister, you know, they spread the name of Jesus and the healings of Jesus. And that whole sector of society has been touched in that area. Just from a simple prayer, Lord God, please heal her. So things like that are going on. And what I want to do is encourage you. I want you to know, I want you to feel right now that in the Holy Spirit, you are part of every bit of what God is doing. You have been a lifeline because Pastor could count on your prayers behind him. He could count on your support that came through every month to feed his family, educate his sons. You have to pay for all education over there. Yeah, there is government education, but it's very minimal. It's not worth, you know, having. The needs are great as you're raising a family on faith. And he has no salary, no regular income, no salary. He lives entirely on what God puts in front of him. And they give him little honorariums when he speaks and so forth and so on. But it is hand to mouth. And you are a great, great part of that. So don't let yourself think, well, you know, I'm just here. I'm just walking through my life. I don't really have much to give that's important. You are very, very instrumental in saving hundreds of thousands of souls. And when you get to heaven, your reward is going to be there. And all these people are going to say, you don't know me, but I am with Christ because of you. Hallelujah. There's nothing like our God. Nothing. So, I wanted to tell you, I want to pass on pastor's love to you individually, collectively. They pray for your church. They pray for the people. They pray for the people. Oh, by the way, I forgot to mention, one year I was able to bring he and his wife, Pastor Thum and his wife, here into Alaska. And I had about $5,000 of my own, so we got tickets and brought them over. And he speaks, they both speak by name, several people that in the congregation, Susie for sure, Jonathan, you know, just so many, each of you, they remember by name. I don't remember you by name, even myself, but they remember those few days that they saw you, and they were welcomed into the Women's Bible Study. That's how we started with your church. They came and fell in love with you. And so that's the way this connection has come about. God is able. And he knew what he was doing. When I called up and said, would you have any minister? I have two, you know, a man and a wife from India. So the women said, sure, come on over. And so we brought them here, and then they went on to, well, first off, let me tell you that in coming here, because of that, I mentioned the 5 acres that we were able to buy, because you reached under and you began to give money to them, and they built a small church from this congregation. There was someone that donated. And they, by faith, begin a lasting relationship with you and praying for you. And they are absolutely just praying, asking God that they can return and come to Alaska and greet you and be part physically of the people that have sustained them for so long. Please pray for Pastor's wife, Sunila. She has diabetes. It is rampant in India. And it's becoming, you know, in other words, she isn't being able to receive insulin. She's trying to manage it with the pill, the metformin. And she's beginning to have some serious repercussions. So please keep her in your prayers. God can heal her and will heal her when he's ready. But she just continues on with such a pure faith and a smile on her lips, but she's suffering. So do take note of that, if you will. So there was a small start on that campus from being here. Then we went on to California, and that's another story I won't take time to tell you, but God connected me to this pastor in California when I was at a conference clear in New York City. And so we went there, and because of God's grace there, they were able to put a down payment on a car, their very first car. They had played 5 years for a car. And they by faith, they put a down payment on that car. Now, would you have put a down payment on a car when you had no salary, no income, no sustainable income? But they did, and they never missed one payment. And that was the first car of many because, as I said to you, we would travel 16 hours out to minister, maybe have two meetings, and come 16 hours back to have meetings at the other end. And so much travel, and they've worn out lots of cars, 5 or 6, I think, but they still, God is blessing them. So that's what happened in California. That was the main thing. Except for that pastor in California took to heart the ministry of India and really noted pastor's eldest son, who is a marvelous boy. Let me give you one instance. As a young lad, maybe, I think he was 13, 14, one of the ministers that are under pastor came to visit and for prayer and so forth and was ready to leave. And Kushi is the name of the boy. He said, here, take these sandals because you don't have any sandals. Take them and be blessed. And after that pastor left and was so happy, Pastor Uttam said to his son, well, those were your sandals, right? Yes, Papa, but he didn't have any, so I gave him mine. And so this is the heart of that boy. He loves people. And the pastor from California saw this young boy with the heart attitude he had, intelligent, fine boy, and began to subsidize his education. And so he finished his education through 12th grade. And that same pastor subsidized his education in Hungary through Calvary Chapel and gave him a 4-year degree in Bible, in ministry. So that young man is working with his dad and has graduated. He's the one that's teaching the Bible college. And graduated his younger brother through the Bible college, who is now a pastor in his own right. And, you know, it just goes on and on. Pastor has 5 brothers. They are all pastors and serving the Lord. Because their mother, when they were sleeping on the floor in the night, would come by and say, Lord God, let my sons serve you. Let my sons rise up and serve you and love you, and be pastors. And that mother's prayers were answered. And Pastor Tom says if one was going to be a black sheep, it was him. He struggled and at last turned to the Lord and became the man of God he is now. Please don't misunderstand anything. Pastor is not a struggling village pastor. He is a man of notoriety. He is respected, well respected, and has 2 master's degrees. Speaks 6 different languages, but his heart is so wedded to Christ. And he loves and respects each person before him, whether they are doing right or doing wrong. You know, he'll speak into their lives, but he never disregards them or looks down on anyone. He's respected because he's a man of station, and he lives in the villages as a man of poverty. And the people love him. Hindus come and say, well, what can we do for you? Can we bring, we'll bring provisions for the Jathra. We'll bring food. We'll bring rice. We'll give you rice. We'll give you. Another man in the government, working in the government, said, well, there's a grant in the government coming through, and I believe that you qualify, so we'll build the wall around your compound. You have to have a wall there or somebody comes and squats and simply claims your land. And there's, because you're Christian, there's no way, no recourse. You can't just go and say, that was my land. No, you're Christian, so you don't deserve, you don't have any land, so to speak. So he's a very well-respected man and a wonderful man of God. And I trust him with my life. And I love him like a brother. He's just wonderful because of Jesus. So I don't know what time. Oh, we're past. I'm sorry. I'm rambling. I'm sorry. It is a joy for me to share with you. I don't get to share too much when I'm not in India. And it's a joy just to speak of the things of the Lord and to bless each one of you. And I truly want, if you don't remember anything else today, it's that the Lord is working through you. The Lord is touching the world through you and through your prayers and through your life as you just minister to people around you and answer the call of God on your life. And if you're not recognizing it, there's a call for you when you go down to Walmart. There's a call in your life when you touch the school children, you know, on the school bus. Wherever you are, whoever you are, when you are saved with the blood of Jesus, he's calling you to put on Christ, to live the godly life, and to love him and serve him with all that you are. And I'm planning on going back. I'm hoping to go back with the COVID thing kind of relaxes a bit. But I always take note of what they tell me. I don't ever force myself on them, because they know what's dangerous. And if I'm a problem, then they are a problem because they're hosting me and everything ripples off. So please pray for us. Just give God the glory. Take courage. Don't think that this world is coming to an end. Keep your eyes up. Keep your eyes up and your heart alive in the knowledge of Jesus. And he'll carry you through this time. I look at things and I get, you know, I get start to get upset also. But I know that my Redeemer lives. And that I am risen up and seated at the right hand of God in Christ Jesus. And so are you. And that's where I need to keep my mind and my heart. We love you. We care about you. When I'm there, we have open prayer. We pray for you. And we are never taking you for granted. So please just join me. Let's have a word of prayer and I'll let you go. Our Heavenly Father, we cannot even express who you are and what you have done for each of us and because of your great and mighty name. And that we are here to as separated people from this world, and it's not that easy to be separated. It's always pushing in on us. And Lord, we ask for your Holy Spirit to build and keep that spiritual wall from our in our heart and our mind, that we can actually just step into the Spirit and remain there and not be kicked around. Lord, this world is really clamoring and trying to push in. We declare the blood of Jesus alive and well and active over this house of God and over the hearts of the people. Lord, hallelujah. You are worthy of our praise. We are here to glorify your name. We are here to love each other and to lift up the name of Jesus, who paid it all. We worship you now, and we claim your name. In Jesus Christ, amen.
Thank you, Barbara. Well, I won't keep you guys, so I was encouraged by that. You all encouraged by that? So it's amazing when we give to missions, yeah, amen. When we give to missions to have a report like this to come back and, you know, you give your tithes and offerings every week, and it's like, oh, is it really doing anything? It's doing a lot. So just keep that in mind as we continue to serve, and as we continue to serve here, and Barbara continues to serve here in Georgia now, right, for a while. Better you than me. you just keep her in prayer and keep all the pastors in prayer, and that's just awesome. I love it when a little church in Alaska has a global impact. Amen. That's pretty cool. So you are dismissed.